No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blog and Dirty Podcast, where Dirty Bird is the word if you haven't heard. I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer for Fansided. Got an exciting show for you guys today. Even though this team is crap, this show is not crap. So be sure to give this thing a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, do whatever you can to get this out there to as many people as possible. Once again, this is an Atlanta Falcons based podcast for the Fansided Network tied to the Atlanta Falcons team site, Blog and Dirty. Yeah, this is, I'm in a lot better mood today than I thought I would be to talk about this godforsaken team, but we're going to have a lot of fun here because I really got nothing left to lose. I mean, that loss in Germany to the Colts was just par for the course for this team and this franchise. But, you know, like Shania Twain said, we can only go up from here. So, you know, let's get started with our first run of the day here. And again, these are going to be topics that are things I feel very strongly about heading into the game. We got the Carolina Panthers here, Carolina Panthers part due. First game that would happen in Charlotte was a disaster. Can't lose, what, 3 in a row to the Panthers dating back to last year? Just can't do it. Michael Penix Jr. has got to figure it out because this cat's got his tongue here. But for this to happen, from the Falcons to come away victorious, I believe that Drake London and Kyle Pitts are going to have to bail out Michael Penix Jr. This is because Penix is really struggling with his accuracy. He's below 60% on the season. And again, this is something he's got to figure out if he wants to have staying power in this league. The talent's there, but this has always been kind of the thing for me with Penix, where if anything's going to unravel him besides injuries, this is what it's going to be. Look, he was accurate in college, but like the windows become much smaller and much more narrow in the NFL. You're not just on a team with like, you're one of the best players, one of the stars. Everybody that's playing in the NFL was a star in college in one some way, shape, or form. That's why they're playing at the game's highest level. And this kind of goes back to the first Panthers game where they're on the road in Charlotte. It ultimately cost wide receivers coach Ike Hilliard his job. Penix just had no feel for the ball. Didn't have Mooney available, or Mooney was kind of working his way back. I feel like he was kind of sailing passes in London and Pitts' direction. And we can't have that. He's got to find his two most reliable guys in the receiving game. Yes, you got to get Bijan Robinson part of it as well out of the backfield. Maybe Algier if he's open too. But like, The game is going to be won or lost offensively for the Falcons if Penix can find London and Pitts easily. There have been moments where I think that they both have bailed Penix out, London more so than Pitts, but they're both mega talents. Again, these are all three first-round picks, you know, having played at what Power 2 schools there in USC, Florida, and Washington, in Indiana, I guess, before that with Penix. Like, we got to see him be a little bit more accurate. And again, I feel that Raheem Morris is kind of challenging him to be that, because he knows what's at stake. If the Falcons don't win, this might cost him his job. You can't lose five in a row at this stage of the season with, you know, so much at stake here. But Penix, but it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, or, you know, it's kind of paradoxical, if you will. Like, Penix is being poorly coached, but Penix is also not playing up to the standard that the poor coaches need him to be. So they're kind of like feeding in off each other in a very negative way, and I don't like it. Penix did show, I think, the most amount of frustration after a loss at any point in his career, visibly frustrated after losing to the Colts. I mean, it didn't help that the Falcons defense couldn't really stop Jonathan Taylor when it counted, but again, that guy's the MVP. Penix has to play better. Like, I know he's kind of hit like a growing pains here in some capacity. The offensive line's not as good as what I thought it would be. He's facing a lot of pressure that maybe he wasn't expecting. But, I mean, he'll run a little bit, but he's kind of more of a guy in the pocket. And if you're going to be a pocket passer, you got to be more accurate than this. Like, you got to find ways to move the sticks and develop and have some sort of rhythm within the continuity of your offense. And I know that London and Pitts are mega athletes. They're guys that will make tremendous plays. Same with Robinson. The talent's there. The talent is undeniably there. Same with Penix. He can really rifle that pigskin. But, you know, when you're throwing these wild balls that are incomplete, and Penix isn't throwing a lot of picks, and I will give him that, but, like, the balls he's throwing a lot of times just aren't that catchable. And, again, like, it goes back to the whole thing, like, maybe we didn't really appreciate Matt Ryan as much as we did. He got the ball picked off a good bit, but he threw one of the most catchable balls of all time. The guy's a Hall of Famer. We had 14 years of absolute excellence at quarterback for the most part, and we just didn't appreciate it. We always were, like, hoping and wanting that he could be Michael Vick. He wasn't Michael Vick. Michael Penix isn't Michael Vick either. He's himself, and he's got to be that. And I do think that coaching does matter a lot here. If he had a better staff around him, they wouldn't be putting him in situations that are less than advantageous. You know, it wouldn't be getting in his head. He wouldn't be taking sacks. He wouldn't be, you know, intentional grounding or throwing the ball out of bounds as much. Like, the situational football would be a little bit better. And I think there'd be situations where, like, the play calling, you know, dictates, okay, it's not going to be third and long every time if we don't get a completion on first or second down or a big run. But in reality, the only way the Falcons are going to stop the bleeding here is if London and Pitts go off and really bring Penix out of this quagmire he's found himself in. And I think that they can. And, you know, I hope that they can, because I don't want to see a bunch of negative crap derail a really talented team. You need a new coaching staff. I think that that's guaranteed. But, like, people can look at the pieces in place here in Atlanta and be like, you know what, maybe I want to come here. But London and Pitts, they got to be reasons that Penix gets out of this. So that was my first run. My second run of the day here is, look, the Falcons pass rush has to make Bryce Young's day absolutely miserable. And I think it might. And I think what we saw, you know, versus Daniel Jones and the Colts last week, and honestly, in a lot of different instances, you know, they were able to get after the passer. They've been doing this all year long. I've really enjoyed, particularly since the Patriots came. I mean, they were able to get after Drake May, and he's an MVP candidate as well. I think it's really cool that, like, Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. are starting to play off each other very complimentary. I think that it's allowing guys like Arnold Ebiketie and Leonard Floyd to kind of be more in rotational roles. I think Zach Harrison's really figuring it out. Same with Brandon Dorlus as well. Having a healthy David Onyemata in the middle of the defense, wreaking havoc, has been good. I think obviously Cade Nellis is playing phenomenally this year, even without Devon Diablo. Again, JD Bertrand's always going to be a mismatch out there. The secondary, you know, Jesse Bates had one of his best games of the season because of the pass rush. And it was all for naught because, you know, Penix did not play well. And the coaching staff let the Falcons down. You know, I'll never understand, like, why you didn't want to have an extra second on the clock. You just chose to go to overtime. That's such a defeatist mentality, and we don't do that. If you go into things with a defeatist mentality there in football, you deserve to lose. And again, I kind of feel that Raheem Morris has lost the plot a little bit. Zach Robinson doesn't know how to read of the plot. He just likes Michael Bay stuff. He just likes explosion and nonsense. But anyway, the pass rush has to get after Bryce Young. Look, you can't have Bryce Young win three games in a row over the Falcons. You just can't do it. Like, because you're giving him confidence. And he's a guy, he's won the Heisman before, but he's very small. Panthers offensive line's not particularly good. I believe the team just lost to the Saints. They're 5-5. Again, we're a good bit behind them in the we were a game and a half behind them in the standings. Maybe more effectively too, because we lost them head to head in Charlotte. Like, if you have any hope to save your season, you have to win this game. I mean, last week was a must win. They lost. This is what's even more than a must win. Like, jobs are at stake here. And I think the pass rush is going to go off regardless. I think that Jeff Ulbrich has a pretty good feel for what the guys he has in the defensive front seven, and they're going to play hard. And I will say this, the Falcons defense has played hard all season long. I think there have been games where they've given up points, but like, I've never really felt like, oh, the defense really let us down today. The offense has kind of been more of a sputtering thing. I think obviously when your offense sucks at times, it hurts. Your defense doesn't go as hard. It's just, you know, I remember like the loathsome burden of what the pre-Brad Johnson, John Gruden Buccaneers under Tony Dungy. It's like, God, you know, Trent Dilfer is giving them 6 points of offense a game, and they're winning games like 10-6. Like, it's you can't have that. But I think back to the Panthers game. This is very vivid in the back of my mind. Bryce Young didn't play particularly well in that game. The Panthers were 0-2. They were dead to rights. They needed to win that game. And maybe we get that win that we need here to salvage our season, or at least try to find some positive momentum in a very easy part of our schedule. And again, like, Washington's not really been that good. I never really bought into Minnesota. Buffalo is decent. But you got losses on here. Like, the Dolphins loss, I'll never understand that. And then obviously, you know, you lose to like the Colts, who are really good. Obviously, the Patriots are really good. You played them close. 49ers are good. Yeah, Buccaneers are good. So yeah, you played a tough schedule. I'll give you that. But like, you lost to Miami. At this point, like, the Falcons are capable of losing to anybody on the schedule. So let's not rule that out. You got to get after Bryce Young. You got to affect his play. You gotta inflict pain on the opposing offense, because your offense right now cannot be trusted because you have an imbecile offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson. We picked the wrong guy from the Shanahan tree. Look at what Clint Kubiak is doing there in Seattle. Honestly, if they fired Raheem Morris, maybe bring him in. This is a guy that was on the Saints staff a year ago. Bring your dad. Bring whomever. Like, whatever this is, it's. If you have something from the McVay Shanahan tree, the offense of the Falcons are going to be running. Will improve. I did notice one thing kind of there during the telecast on NFL Network and everything like that, with Adam Amin and Kurt Warner calling the game. I think they asked Zach Robinson why they're running out of the pistols. Like, well, Michael Penix is comfortable with this, and they like to give, you know, Bijan Robinson more space here. I kind of feel like when you're the play calling is so predictable, the defense can kind of figure it out. Penix, again, has to level up and become more comfortable under center. Again, you can only deal with what the college game provides you, but like, when you've got a guy.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Can you imagine how much better the Falcons would be if they could actually do play action? Again, that's kind of why they wanted Kirk Cousins, because he was always really good at that. Matt Ryan was always good at that. And when you don't have a guy who's really used to being under center, you pay a price for it. But to counterbalance all this, you got to get after the passer. You got to make Bryce Young's day challenging. And I think that they might be able to do it. I mean, I think that like Daniel Jones and Drake May were not – they came out of the game pretty impressed with what Atlanta's got cooking defensively. Like, yeah, we got the win, but those guys are building something special defensively. So that's kind of what I got here. The two runs are you got to have Drake London and Michael Penix Jr. Drake London and Kyle Pitts bail out Michael Penix Jr. And the pass rush has to make Bryce Young's day miserable. All right, let's move on to our third down, which is pass. And I'm going to pass on this. A fifth straight loss should cost Raheem Morris his job. I think right now the betting odds say that he's sitting in the hottest seat in the NFL right now. I think I saw somewhere, I forget exactly what sports book it is, but he's like minus 150 to be the first next head coach fired. Brian Daboll is out of a job now. So I think that brings us to two head coaches have been fired. With Brian Callahan out in Tennessee for a while. Daboll's out in New York. It kind of feels like, you know, the Dolphins may ride it out with Mike McDaniel because they move on from general manager Chris Greer. But I don't think this is going to be a very good coaching carousel in the NFL. I don't think there's a lot of really good candidates. And but at this point, like if you lose five in a row, like this is what happened to Raheem Morris in Tampa Bay when I was in college. And one of my best friends, Ian, was a Buccaneers fan. And then Josh Hill, one of my former bosses, he works in the NFL division too. He's a diehard Buccaneers fan. We've talked about this too, in the NFC South corner in the Chicago office and everything like that. It was going really well under Raheem Morris initially when he was the head coach there in Tampa. He had a promising, talented quarterback there in Josh Freeman. He couldn't mentally figure it out. And then the team just started like stacking up one loss after another after another. Like I know Raheem Morris like waited 15 years for this opportunity and he's squandering it because he picked the wrong offensive coordinator and he picked the wrong defensive coordinator a year ago. And again, you have to be able to build a better staff in this. And I also feel that like, even though he's coached on the offensive side of the ball, he had been a wide receivers coach in some capacity here in Atlanta. When it's hitting the fan, I think it's so important in the NFL to have an offensive-minded coach, and it's different than college. And again, let me explain this just a little bit further. So again, I mostly cover college football now, and again, because I'm a Georgia fan, I write a lot of stuff about Georgia for Dawn of the Dog, stuff about the Wisconsin Badgers for Badger of Honor, other stuff around the NCAA division. In college football, you can only win a national championship in the modern era right now if you have one of two things. As a head coach, you need either the CEO type or a defensive-minded guy. When you have a CEO type, you're basically the morale curator. You empower your coordinators to make a difference. You're all about recruiting. You're all about bringing people into the program. And this is what offensive-minded guys have to eventually become. They have to become the face of the program and empower and entrust the guys to call plays. You could also do it defensively. Like Kirby Smart is defensive-minded guy. He's kind of a CEO type too. Like CEO types historically, like Dabo Swinney, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, like guys like that. When you're defensive-minded, you're always recruiting because, you know, the most talented guys you have on defense can run the simplest concepts, the fastest and the best. You would much rather have a guy, a better athlete executing an easier play relatively well than having a lesser athlete having to execute a more complicated play perfectly. You're going to have better results in the end because the odds are in your favor that, like, even if you're running something simple with better athletes over time, it's going to work out versus lesser athletes running something more complicated. And then on offense, like the reason it'll ever work, and this is why I've kind of been critical of Josh Heupel at Tennessee, is when you're running something gimmicky like an air raid offense or Lincoln Riley, you know, it, with an air raid offshoot with a little more of a power running game there at USC, you're kind of operating from a principle of like my plays are better than it takes priority over my players. That's not always the case because all it takes is just better athletes on defense just blow stuff up and it can take you off your timing and rhythm and everything like that. Also on offense, you need to be able to run the ball effectively in college, you know, and inflict pain on the opposition because, you know, you want them sucky wind. You want their defensive line feeling it. And then those 3 yard gains become 7 yard gains. And then you win the game like a boa constrictor anaconda style. In the NFL, it's different. And the reason for this is because it's a league driven by parity. And when you have that, the best teams are always added less than advantageous situation to retain their best players. You know, best players got to get compensated. They end up, you know, some guys get priced out and they sign elsewhere in free agency because other teams want what made that team good. You get the worst draft picks. Your top coordinators and front office executives get poached to other jobs. You know, a coordinator goes on to be head coach or an assistant GM or a, you know, director of pro personnel or college scouting goes and becomes a GM somewhere else. You know, there may be a rotational player. He gets paid and he goes to another team, if you will. But I would say, of course, we've got chainsaws going here. It's as always. This is Atlanta in November. I'm so tired of this. Yeah, my engineer is finally doing something outside. Anyway, when you have a head coach is more of a CEO type, when it hits the fan and you can't figure it out. Like you're stuck there with your hands in your pockets and you're wondering like, what do I do? One of the reasons why Andy Reid has been so successful with the Chiefs is like when it hits the fan, he's drawing up plays. He's trying to figure out what to do anyway to help Patrick Mahomes and the offense figure it out. Raheem Morris doesn't do that. He's like, okay, Zach, can you figure it out? Zach Robinson cannot figure it out. So I don't know if defense really works the same way. And again, like outside of a few teams in the NFL, like the Bears, the Steelers, maybe the Ravens, where defense is just part of your culture. The Jets, when they're decent as well. But like defense is a year-over-year proposition. You build and sustain through offensive success. When you've got a quarterback like a Matt Ryan in your building and everything like that, it makes things much easier for, you know, whatever it may be. But like, look, if you lose 5 games in a row and you lose to what the 49ers, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Colts, and then the Panthers, you get swept by the Panthers, you're going to be 3-7. And at that point, like, you got to win your final 7 games to even have a shot at the playoff, and it's not happening. And the fact that you don't have your first-round pick because you trade up to get James Pierce Jr. this year, that's going to be a challenge. And, you know, why Terry Fontenot is more likely to retain his job than Raheem Morris, because look, he got us into this mess. You get Cousins out of it. Maybe you get some other picks or some other compensation, as if you will. But like, I don't think the roster is poorly constructed. I think there's a few places where like, yeah, Devon Diablo was a huge asset for us. And there's no secret with him getting hurt. It's really been contributed to the slide defensively. Hopefully he's able to come back and make an impact. But look, I don't think Zach Robinson should be the OC anymore. And if Raheem Morris loses to the Panthers at home, he doesn't need to coach this team anymore. At this point, give it to Jeff Ulbrich and have TJ Yates be the offensive coordinator. Defensively, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, we're at that point right now where, like, This was a team that we were expecting was going to make the playoffs. And they're coming up dead for the same reasons every time, because Arthur Blank can't hire a head coach for the life of him. It's so frustrating. Like, it's not going to change for as long as he's in charge. And I hope that whenever the succession happens, then maybe things will change. But, like, it's I'm dealing with the fact that this team is not going to make the playoffs for a decade. It's unbelievable. The only team who hasn't made the playoffs less frequently than us is the Jetty Jets. And we want to be hanging out with them? No, of course not. So let's move on to our final topic today, our fourth down and punt. This is something I'm unsure of. So let's make a pick against the spread. According to ESPN Bet, the Atlanta Falcons are laying 3.5 points at home to the visiting Carolina Panthers. Atlanta is 2-2 at home and 3-6 overall. The Panthers are 2-3 away from home and 5-5. Why does everybody on God's green earth bother me when I'm recording? I do not understand this. So the over under is a 42.5 points. Again, I can't really quite do the math right now, but you know what? I'm going to take the Falcons to win. I think that I'm going to take the Falcons to win and cover here. I think the Falcons are going to win by 4. And I think the final score is going to be something along the lines of 24-20. I think that the defense knocks Bryce Young off his game just enough. Just enough to where, like, you know, maybe there's like a pick six that Jesse Bates has. Maybe there's a scoop and score that Brandon Dorlus comes up with. And I think if you can get a defensive touchdown and maybe, you know, limit what you need to do out of the kicking game from Zane Gonzalez, you really only need Penix to lead the offense in the end zone twice. In that situation, maybe 3 times. I think 24 points could be good. I think if your defense really needs to step up. And again, you can't turn the ball over. You got to be more protective of the football here. And I think it's going to be okay because, look, this is the Falcons. They give you false hope. And I think a win here would be the ultimate sign of false hope here. So, yeah, take the Falcons to win. Take the Falcons to cover. They're going to stop the bleeding here. They're going to win by 4. It's going to be a tough day for people who wager on the Panthers here. And maybe they should, but like then again, they lost the Saints, who I think might be crap. But then again, we lose to anybody, everybody. So that's kind of what I got right here. Falcons are going to win and cover. And if they don't, I'm going to have a really awesome show on Sunday at some point. Okay. And this was episode 67 of the Blog and Dirty Podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. You can follow along with the show on YouTube at Blog and Dirty FS. You can follow along on X at Blog and Dirty. Be sure to watch, like, comment, subscribe, review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Really get this thing out here. I think we're 1 subscriber away from 350. That would be phenomenal. We get to 500, we can monetize this thing, and then that can get really good for us. Working super hard. It's been kind of a slow, gradual build here. And again, the optimism we had coming into the season has clearly and obviously faded, but I'm going to keep doing this for you guys, twice a week, and that includes on Sundays. The post-game shows have been fun, kind of allowing, you know, me to react a little bit more in real time, being able to provide a little bit more, you know, get a little more animated, if you will. But you know, that's how it goes here. So, I put up like a microphone thing on Slack. It says, please don't bother me. And people still do that. I don't understand. Like 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, I'm recording. People should know that, but they don't care. They don't care about us. But I care about you, Dirty Bird Nation. Once again, thanks for listening. And this is the Blog and Dirty Podcast.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.